All right, guys. No. We have some excellent speakers coming up in the second half. Sorry, Tanner, to put you on the spot with the first half there. You did great, man. Pressure's off you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. All right, guys. So earlier, Philip warned us that this speaker maybe has tossed his cookies once or twice in an important situation. Try to keep this theater clean. It's only been open a few months. I'm sure Kevin wouldn't appreciate having to clean up. This is from the exhibition director of the Chicago Design Museum, woo! Matthew Turdich.
Yeah, so I feel like I have to address that a little bit. Let me get situated here. So just, you know, you already heard one story about me, but I can't really confirm or deny whether or not that happened because I actually don't remember. So maybe that tells you something about that. So it's really appropriate for me that the title of today's event is Your Stories, because my story is about stories. And stories have always played an important role for me in my life. When I was growing up, my mom was an English teacher, and so naturally the house was filled with books. And that was really really good for me when I was a kid, because I was... Whoa.
Sorry.
Thanks, Tanner. I'm already nervous, and then there's like big interruptions. I'm like, oh, what am I gonna do? Yeah, but you know, so that was actually really great for me because, like I said, I was really shy when I was a kid, and so I would spend a lot of time holed up in my room, reading a lot of books and drawing. And the books that this is where you're about to find out what a big nerd I am. So two stories that Philip told you. And so the books that I always gravitated towards the most were the ones that that were sort of characterized by these really sort of fantastic adventures, all sorts of different bizarre creatures, wizards, dragons, alien spaceships, all that stuff. So, and those stories were really important for me because I think that you know they you know for me what was important about them was that you know no matter how fantastic or bizarre those situations were. They always really, at their core, dealt with sort of the essence of the human condition. And I think that, you know, as a young reader, being able to see past this sort of cloak of fantasy and really put yourself in those characters' shoes and understanding what they were going for was a really sort of a critical lesson for me to realize. So I also grew up watching a lot of movies, Star Wars, Star Trek, lots of things with stars in them. Only one, whoo, that's it. It's an event of nerds, and you guys are all like, I don't know. Here's another one for you. Dark Crystal, Labyrinth. Oh, that's cool. That got better, yeah. And so one of my favorite things to do is go to the video store to pick out a new film to watch. And I was always kind of really fascinated by the packaging of these sort of video cassettes and the sleeves. They are always characterized by these really sort of rich illustrated tableaus of various characters and scenes from the films. And then this kind of like quirky exotic lettering, hand-drawn lettering that would sort of display the title of the movie. And so, you know, I would you know, kind of be inspired by that and then go home and obviously watch the films that I would rent, but go home and try to recreate those drawings, either as sort of replicas of what I remember from the packaging or as illustrations from the books that I was reading. You know, and sort of as I got a little bit older, it extended into junior high and high school, and I would try to, when I would do posters and program covers for the different clubs and events and things that were happening at the schools. And that was a really way for me to kind of activate my imagination and try to think about how do you visualize, you know, a world that you can't see, any situations that you can't see. But that for me was kind of the extent of what I knew, you know, a designer or an artist would do. I thought, oh, you want to be a designer? You want to be, you know, that's what you did. You made posters for movies or images for movies or book covers or these program covers or whatever. So anyway, when it came time to go to college, I ended up enrolling at UIC. And, you know, for a number of reasons, it was affordable for me. It was in an urban, obviously it was in Chicago, it was in an urban environment. I thought that was important. If I wanted to study design, which I didn't know what it was still back then. And also it was university, and so I thought it was important to be around people that were studying things other than design, and I also wanted to have the opportunity to study things other than design. So given all that, you can imagine my surprise when the very first design class came around, and they gave us a ruling pen, a straight edge, and a piece of 11 by 14 Bristol board, which is basically just like cardstock, and told us to draw 33 parallel, perfect parallel horizontal rule lines. And I thought, what the hell is that? Like, how come we're not drawing creatures and all the dragons? Where are the dragons, you know? What's going on? And so I was sort of, like, flummoxed by that. I thought, ah. And so, you know, but a part of me also kind of recognized that there was something there, because I thought, this is so bizarre, and I was kind of so fascinated by the fact that I had never seen anything like that before, that I thought, well, nobody would make you do something like that without a really good reason or a purpose. And I wanted to know what that was. And so sure enough, as the classes progressed, we started to work with basic shapes. We started to work with textures. We started to work with typography. We started to work with letter forms, patterns, images. You know, and what I got out of that was this understanding that all of these sort of basic studies that we were doing were really teaching us how to understand the relationships between these basic visual elements. And that was really sort of very important for me in my development. You know, and through these sort of really structured, focused, and deliberate studies, we were sort of building a rich visual language, but also a visual language for formal expression, but also a language of critical analysis and thought, so that we were really understanding the things that we were creating, who we were creating them for, how they go out into the world, how they affect people in the world, who they are made for, and also a way to activate our imagination so that we're not just sort of relying on the very first sketch that we come up with, but really trying to explore all the visual possibilities and all the visual directions that an idea can lead into. And so it wasn't until much later that I discovered that this process that we engage in as designers is really ultimately concerned with the same themes of thoughtfulness and empathy and imagination that these stories that I was reading as a boy were concerned with, and ultimately, like a lot of the stories that we tell each other are concerned with. And I think for me that was a really beautiful moment to kind of make that connection, because it kind of united this sort of boyhood interest in stories with what I do now as a designer and the language, using the sort of visual language of design to really be a visual author and to tell stories visually. So that's my story. Thanks for letting me come up. And I didn't vomit on the stage, so that was a success.
Like the record show, the stage is spotless, except for this pick over here. That's okay. Overlook that. Matthew, have you gotten to draw any creatures since that first class?
Oh.
All right. No comment on the creature.